Leo Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Kiss says what? Where, Van Nuys? Let me talk to him. Hi, this is Phil Hendry. How are you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you claim you were in Van Nuys yesterday?
Yes, sir. I was at the Blockbuster Video on 29th Street in Van Nuys yesterday afternoon at 4:30.
And were you with anybody?
Yes, sir. I was with a friend of mine.
And you had just gotten done watching NFL?
Yeah, we watched the second NFL game. Then we decided to go to Blockbuster on account of to rent one of the movies, American Pie, the uncut version. And that's when I believe...
Hold on for just a minute. You claimed that you saw Osama bin Laden at a Blockbuster...
Yes, sir.
At a Blockbuster Video on 29th Street in Van Nuys.
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. I can tell you right now that I don't have time for games. My producer put you through.
Mr. Henry, I am not playing any games. What I'm trying to do is make a communication with you.
Why wouldn't you call the police if you claim you saw Osama bin Laden at a Blockbuster?
For the very reason that I would be in danger. For the reason that I didn't give my name.
What do you mean you're not giving your name? I don't understand that. You call my show and you say you saw Osama bin Laden at a Blockbuster and you won't call the police. Why?
Because of a fear for my safety.
Is that what he told you, Mike? What are you going to be afraid of?
Mr. Henry, I, you know, this is a man who obviously is capable of some very dangerous acts. I am very much afraid, not only for myself, members of my family, that
Osama bin Laden at a Blockbuster in Van Nuys, California, ain't gonna happen, okay?
Why not?
Well, why do you think you saw him? First of all, you're afraid he's gonna kill you if you tell the police? The guy, if you're telling me you saw Osama bin Laden at a Blockbuster, that guy wants to die.
No, if you think about it, it makes sense.
How does it make sense?
Because, first of all, of all the countries he could hide in, what's the best place to hide in?
You're saying he's here.
What's the best place?
I guess it would be America.
Yes, sir.
The guy is not at a Blockbuster, though. If Osama bin Laden is in America, why is he over at a Blockbuster?
But nobody's going to know. I mean, I thought it was him.
First of all, he's going to be at a Blockbuster dressed like himself? How do you know it was him?
Because of the physical description, sir.
The physical description. Describe what you saw.
I saw a man roughly in his early 40s with a long beard.
Wearing a turban on his head and a long gown.
Yes.
That could be a million guys.
I don't think so, sir.
Why not?
I don't think anybody's going to go out dressed like they're a terrorist with the millions of people who want to kill him.
Then why would he go out?
For the very reason that he is incognito in America.
See, do you see what you're saying? Osama bin Laden is at a Blockbuster in Van Nuys. You were able to see the guy, but you're saying he's safe to go out. What was he doing? Was he renting a movie?
At the time that my friend saw him, yes, sir, he was perusing videos.
Where?
At the new releases.
Did he rent one?
He did. Chris Sorensen wrote it down.
Let me ask you something, kid. You're watching a guy who you think is Osama bin Laden at a Blockbuster with a video.
That is correct.
Did you, and you did not think to call the police?
I did at the first time, but my friend told me that I should not, because I would be in jeopardy of my life being terminated with extreme prejudice, and so...
All right, this can't all the CIA talk. You were afraid that he would reach out and kill you.
Yes, sir, I am.
And you are afraid of that now?
Yes, sir.
What movie did he rent?
3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Who's that Piccolo on the street with his hands in his pockets and his crocs? Stop.
on the prairie or in the city. I'll help him round up all the strays. I don't have much to offer him. I'm very small, you see. But I can love my Jesus, and he can still
love me. Don't you just love little kids? It's 21 past the hour. You've heard me talk about BartCop.com on this program before. And something makes me mention it again. I guess my poor attempts at humor on this program brings into focus BartCop's website. It's a political satire site, for those of you who haven't been there. And I want you to go. You know, we've picked up a lot of stations here in the past couple of weeks, couple of months. And if you're tuning in and you don't know what I'm talking about, BartCop.com, check it out. BartCop, BartCop.com. He's a redneck from Oklahoma who is a liberal redneck. He's kind of a liberal redneck like me. Likes to, you know, he has guns and stuff, you know, right? I think BartCop drives a pickup just like I do. But anyway, I want you to check out his website, BartCop.com. It's one of the funniest damn sites on the internet. I'm constantly stealing stuff from his site. Sometimes I credit him, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I pretend like it's my material, and it's not his. And so if you're looking for something really cool to slam the right-wingers with, in the morning over coffee, you can usually find it at night at BartCop. I always go there when I get home, when Kathy and I get home after the show, which is about 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. And, you know, she puts Molly back to bed, and I go into the computer room and sit there and see what BartCop had to say that day. So I want y'all to check it out, okay? There are several sites I push. You know, Democratic Underground, of course, which, you know, is democraticunderground.com. What can I say? It's a great site. Of course, AirAmericaRadio.com, obviously. Buzzflash, Common Dreams, truthout.org, you know, but for full-blown, flat-out political humor and satire, some of it just, you won't believe it. So check it out, BartCop.com, and he's my friend. We have a great phone relationship. BartCop and I have never met, but we've been talking for how long, Kathy? 5 years? About 5 years? And it's so weird. He's a good friend, and we've never met. Do you have friends like that? Do you? I mean, the internet does that, doesn't it? Huh? His site is incredible. So check it out. Go check it out now. You know, while you listen to this program. BartCop.com. BartCop.com. It's on my links page, but, check it out. BartCop.com. It's funny stuff.
There's a sign on the wall. But she wants to be sure.
Because you know sometimes words have two meanings.
In a tree by the brook, there's a songbird that sings.
Sometimes all of our thoughts are a mix again of
I guess. One other to the west.
And my spirit is crying for leaving.
You know my thoughts, I'm on sea. Bring the smoke to the trees.
When the voices
are... Okay, got some medical to get out of the way. Gonna do the hardest one first. And the first one, my brother, the priest, had quintuple something... heart bypass surgery last year. I think it was April. And, oh, that scared me to death. I faint if I see, like, a stitch. You know, like if somebody gets, like, two stitches in their finger and they show it to me, I get all woozy and faint. Well, just the idea. Wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. You know how a lot of these things run? La familia. And I was afraid if he had it, he's 6 years older than me, I thought if he had it, oh no, that means I got it, oh no. So it was major panic. And it's funny how it started. I asked Mrs. Bart, she couldn't remember either, but for some reason, if you're an expert in the back issues, maybe you'll know, but we were in Dallas last year for some reason. And we were at this hotel, and we were walking through the lobby, and they had a TV on in the lobby. And the TV guy said President Clinton was checking himself in the hospital for bypass surgery because he was having chest pains. And all the minute I heard the word chest pains, I started having me some chest pains. And oh, I hate that. Oh, God, I hate the chest pains. So, like all men, I ignored it. And some time went by, and they didn't necessarily seem to be getting worse, but, you know, every time I heard a Clinton update, oh, I got a little dizzier and I got a few more chest pains. So, time went by, and I spoke to it about Mrs. Bart. That's enough time went by. And she reminded me that when my brother got his symptoms, that he said it felt like burning. Apparently, the way I remember it, oh, my memory, as you get older, but he told me when he would walk the dog, he would get this burning in his chest. And he'd come home and he thought it was whatever that is, flux or reflux or whatever it is. So he'd eat a Tums, and after like 10 minutes, it'd go away. So he thought that's what it was. He's married to a registered nurse, and somehow the two of them figured out it might be a good idea to ask a doctor. So I'm guessing, just a guess, that he went and did a treadmill hooked up to some of them things. You know, they put them buzz wires on you, and they plug it into them fancy machines. And I'm guessing that he did some treadmill, and they said, oh, Father Bart, you need to get you one of them four or five Letterman operations, one of them Clinton operations. And, oh, that scared me to death. Oh, I dropped to my knees right away, and I started praying, please, God. It was all a joke. I know you're for real. I just was saying that. That's just some stuff I heard back in college. I was just repeating it. I didn't mean it, Lord. I really, really love you. I really am with you. No, I didn't do that. So, anyway, it scared the bejesus out of me. He has, oh, and I didn't know this, how they did that. I always talk about how they take the veins from your legs and they put them in your chest, and I'm thinking, well, what does your leg do for veins? I didn't understand that. But now I do, because what they do, they go in, they take an inch from like up by your thigh, and then they take another inch like above your knee, and then they take another inch below your knee, and then they take another inch like closer to your ankle, and they take those 4 inches and they put them in the four spots that are clogged. Oh, I'm getting dizzy even telling you about it. So anyway, my poor brother had that long recovery. He's almost back to 100% now, and here it is almost a year later. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to have to do this. So when I told Mrs. Bart about it, and we talked about it, when she told me that my brother said he had burning sensation in his chest, and I started getting the burning sensation in my chest. Here I am hypnotizing myself into a damn heart attack. So anyway, I couldn't stand it no more, as Papa used to say. So we have a treadmill at the house. So I jumped on the treadmill and I ramped it up and did 10 minutes. Figuring, I'm going to find out right fucking now. Okay, so I did that and I got no chest pains. I said, hey, check that out. I just did 10 minutes on the treadmill and not at a leisurely clip, I might add, and had no chest pains. So I thought, maybe I don't need this. So I thought, well, to be sure, I'll go check with Dr. Sharif. Yeah, Sharif, he don't like it. So, made the appointment to see the doctor, and he said, how old's Mrs. Bart? And I said, that's clearly relevant. And I said, she's the same age as me. And he said, why don't you both come in? We'll get you both on the treadmill, and we'll run through this whole little deal. We'll just rule all that out. I thought, hey, good idea. So we went and did the treadmill test, and I came off real good. I think I mentioned on the page, when I got done with the treadmill, he said my heart was okie-dokie, because that's how they talk in Oklahoma. But when Mrs. Bart got off the treadmill, they said they detected a potential anomaly and they wanted to look at her further. So, of course, that scared her to death. You know, I go in figuring I'm having an operation and they tell me I'm okie dokie and they tell her they are not sure about something. They want to take a closer look. So, of course, being Oklahoma doctors, they don't set up any arrangements or appointments or anything. We keep calling. They say, oh, you need a what? It's like, no, you said I need a what. Don't tell. I'm not requesting this. You did. So we drove her down to the nuclear wing of this hospital in Tulsa. You know, they got like chickens and stuff running in the front yard, and they got cows and pigs and stuff, sheep running around. It's a damn farm. It's not even like a real hospital, but it's the best they have in Oklahoma. So what are we going to do? So we go to the nuclear thing there, and apparently I wasn't there because I knew I'd faint, but they apparently they injected her with some kind of nuclear dye or something. Isotopes? I saw something about isotopes. Anyway, so she did a little treadmill, and they said, oh, you're fine. We were just lying. That little exaggeration cost $2,800. They said they weren't. Now think about it. The doctor, what's a doctor make a year? $400,000 or $500,000, maybe $1 million. Who knows? This is Oklahoma. He might make $60,000. So the doctor's looking at the deal, and he thinks he might have seen a woodchuck. So he sends Mrs. Bart to take a test for $2,800. It didn't take an hour, and I don't know, they must have used real uranium. Because $2,800 for a treadmill test, oh, come on. But anyway, hopefully, or thankfully, she got insurance. The Bart Cop empire does not yet offer insurance. Someday we will hope to turn a profit and get into the health insurance business for our employees, of which we have one. Anyway, she has a job, so we have insurance, so they paid for that, we think. Oh, I'm sure the deductible's probably going to be $2,750. You know how that goes. So bottom line, I don't need the heart operation. She don't need the heart operation. Here we are. We're both 51, and we're at the peak of our, well, I wouldn't say we're at the peak of our, but we don't need any heart bypass operation. And the doctor said we was okie dokie. So, oh, big round of applause. Oh, somewhere I have an applause. I'll fade in some applause on this later. But how about that? Which brings us to number two, and this is the biggie. Now, maybe some of you readers remember back show 29. Oh, show 29 hit me like a big-ass thunderbolt. Who was that biblical guy that was riding his ass to Damascus or something and got his name was Paul, and he got his ass knocked off by a bolt of lightning and turned into Saul? Saul turned into Paul, that's what happened. Well, I turned into Paul on show 29. As you remember, as reported on the page at the time. You can go back and look. Seemed like it was Friday. No. January 27th, something like that. I'm sitting there working for you, as I do. It's all for you. Working on the page. Get dizzy in the son of a bitch. Go right down to the floor. I call Mrs. Bart and say, you better drive home, take me to the doctor, because I'm too dizzy to stand up. And I hadn't had a thing to drink. So she said, okay, be there in a minute. And in the time, she only works a mile away from the old Barkout Manor. But in the time it took her to not get there, I took another serious deep dive into dizzydom. So I just said, fuck it, and dialed 911. I said, hurry your ass over here. This ain't a joke. We need you right now. We don't need you next week. We don't need you next month. We need you right now. So I gave my address. I went and parked my ass on the driveway outside, figuring if I pass out behind a locked door, all they're going to have to do is kick it in. The kitties will get out, and when Mrs. Bart gets home and finds them kitties are gone, she would be so pissed at me. So, number one is the kitties. Number two, save my life if possible. So I locked the door from the outside. I lay down in the driveway, because unlike George Bush, I'm not going to stand up and crack my head open when I fall to the damn ground, because I'm not as stupid as the President of the United States. I was the 12 on the scale of dizzy, and I thought, well, I know, I'll lay down on the ground. That way the ground can't smack me because I'm laying on that fat bastard. So they show up to take me to the hospital, and these nuts at the hospital, they don't have a clue. They run the blood. They run, I don't know if they ran the urine. They ran the EKG. They ran the this. They ran the that. They asked me my name, they looked at my eyes, they looked at my throat, they checked my heart, they checked everything, and they said, we ain't got no idea what could be wrong. And so, once again, the Oklahoma medical system is just a peak. If you ever get sick, if you ever get seriously injured, come to Oklahoma. They still work, you know, they got these divining rods that go up and down your body. And then when the little stick stops somewhere, they figure that's where they're going to operate, that's how they do things in Oklahoma. So anyway, when they drew my blood, they said, uh-oh. We got something funny here. I heard the word cancer, but I was so dizzy I didn't have any idea. But I thought I was dying right then. I thought that whatever it was had struck me out. Whatever this, I had a ball of cancer in my stomach or something that just popped open. And I was just inches, you know, I was hours from death. So they all lied to me. Every damn one of them. They lied. Oh, could be a scratch of the foot. Oh, you might have a... You might have a small infection. You might have a bee sting. You know, they give me the whole hand job. Every one of them. Long story short, they send me to Dr. Laura, a man. I figured that's an omen. My ass is in the hands of Dr. Laura. And he tells me I have a scary disease. And I asked him, how long do I got? And he said, I don't know if he said 6 to 10 years or 4 to 8. Or he said, so I was very dizzy at the time. But we were paying attention. So I said, you know, and it's a really creepy thing. I thought, boy, this is just like a movie. Some old Edmund O'Brien movie, I think, was it's called, oh, hell, I can't remember it. But Someone gave him some poison, and he had to find out who poisoned him. He had 24 hours or 72 hours or something to find the guy who poisoned him. And sadly, he ends up dying in the movie. You figure at the end of the movie he's going to catch the guy and get the antidote, but no. I guess I just spoiled that for you. But anyway, so I look at the doctor and says, how long do I got? And instead of saying, oh, don't be so dramatic, you ass, he gives me a number. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ, you weren't supposed to answer like that. And he says, there is no treatment. What I have is CLL, chronic lymphatic leukemia. He calls it lymphatic with an O. Hey, doc, don't make up your own spelling. Things are tough. I guess that's all they spelled in Oakeyville. But this is chronic lymphatic leukemia. And the chronic means time. Us Latin, us altar boys, we know our Latin. Chronos means time. So that means I got time. The opposite or the other is acute lymphatic leukemia. That means acute. It ain't like, well, it's like acute angina. But the acute is when you got trouble. That's when, oh, we got to start treatment heavy today, slam on the brakes, major. Oh, that's major. But the chronic is like, you're going to die, but not today. So the doctor, he tells me I got the CLL. And again, this is not an invitation. I remember how angry I was. Not really angry, but I didn't want to hear everybody's stories, and I still don't want to hear everybody's cancer stories, okay? So please don't send me no cancer stories. But I worked on a couple of drafts. I wrote this really, really angry. The way it reads now, you probably thought it was really angry, but no, it's very heavy compared to where it was. I wrote this really angry thing, and I let Zendaba, my good buddy Jim in Chicago, I let him read it, and Christian, she helped me with a rewrite. I think Sam was in on a couple of sentences of the rewrite. Anyway, we toned it down a little bit. But, you know, my ass was dying. Okay, so here we go. Dead Bart on the way. So the doctor, he tells me, come back and see him in 90 days. I say, okay. Meanwhile, the Mayo Clinic comes out, says green tea will kill the CLL bad guys, whatever they are. It kills CLL cells or whatever. And so I called the doctor. I said, hey, Dr. Lohr, look here. Check out the green leaves, the green tea here at the Mayo Clinic. And he's going, oh, pshaw, oh, please, the Mayo Clinic, oh, please. And I'm going, hey, you're a fucking doctor from Oklahoma. The Mayo Clinic, they may be from Minnesota, but they're worldwide, you know. If you're some sultan in Bahrain and you got a problem, you're going to fly to Minnesota. Now they got offices in Scottsdale and Palm Beach or whatever, but, you know, they're a major thing. It's bigger than anything in Oklahoma medical-wise. Trust me. Just put it that way. Trust me. By leaps and bounds, by 50, it's bigger than anything in Oklahoma, the Mayo Clinic. So my doctor poo-poos the green tea talk. And it's like, hey, blow me. He said it couldn't hurt to drink it. I think I will. Thank you. Please. So since February 13th, now since maybe February 20th, 28th, something like that, I've been green tea drinking like crazy. So I go back and see the doctor 90 days later, and he says, well, your white cell count is down significantly. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, it must be the green tea, wise guy. And he said, oh, no, I doubt that. And I said, well, look at you. You know more than Mayo Clinic. Where are you from? He said, nah, yeah, if you want to drink the green tea, fine, but I don't think that's got anything to do with it. Come back and see me in 90 days. And I'm thinking, well, what the hell is the point? Oh, and that's when he told me the disease. Yeah, I said, well, doctor, does this mean I got longer since my numbers are down? He said, no. Because the disease you have is the disease you have. And I'm going, oh, please, I can get double talk a whole lot of places. It sure would be nice if you would talk straight to me, since my ass is involved here. But he says, no, the disease you have is the disease you have. And I'm thinking, well, you monkey. You know, and if the doctor had any brains at all, see, this is how he should have explained it. You've got disease X. Now, there's a window somewhere between maybe 3-4 years and forever is your window. And every time you come see me, we're going to be able to shorten that window to maybe, say, from 5 years to 30. And then next time you see me, we can shorten it from maybe 6 years to 20. And next time you see me, we can shorten it maybe from, you know, 7 to 15 and, you know, whatever. And we'll kind of pin down what your situation is. No, but he doesn't say that because he's a doctor. And you're going to find out in a minute what kind of doctor. So anyway, after my second visit, when my numbers were better, I think because of the green tea, and he wouldn't give me any longer, I thought, what the hell is the point to coming to see you? The disease I have is the disease I have, and you're someone who doesn't seem to know what he's doing, so why would I want to pay I got to pay $30 every time, you know, whoop-de-doo, a big copayment. But why would I come pay you money every 90 days for you to tell me that the disease I have is the disease I have? Why would I want to pay you money? So 9 months went by. And I went to see my regular Dr. Sharif. And now you got to go see him now and then because you're old. And he said, you've been back to see the cancer doctor. I said, no. I said, that hand job, what's he going to tell me? He said, no, really. You really, really ought to go see the cancer doctor when he says you should. I'm thinking, well, no. You know, where you it's a collusion deal. They get money referring each other. You know, hey, I referred that Bart Rube over to you. Well, here's your 100. You know, they probably drive by, slip the guy cash in an envelope like Tony Soprano. So anyway, I go back to see this guy. It was roughly the year anniversary. So I go see the doctor. And the doctor, he gets my, you know, first you give him the blood, then they talk to you. So he's all in a real good mood. He comes in, big smile. He walks in the room, hi, Bart. And it's like, monkey. So he starts saying, and I could read his poker face. You know, the first time when I got the bad news, everybody's poker face was all, bye, dude. But this time, he was all bubbly, and I'm going, what? And he said, well, your numbers are looking real good. Well, he did. That's another thing. He never said anything I can quote to you. I don't know why doctors do that. They don't say anything that's quotable. They talk in this gummy language that you can kind of get the gist, but when you turn around and tell someone else what they said, you have to use your own words. That's how they do it intentionally. It's conspiracy. He tells me, basically, that I have not deteriorated at the rate at which many people deteriorate. Something like that. See, that's how these goofy doctors talk. Basically, bottom line, in the first year, I haven't lost any ground. So I think that's a good thing. Had not lost any ground. And again, these aren't his words, but what he basically let me know was by extension, that means that I automatically am going to live longer than whatever the numbers were that he first gave to me. Because I had I lost some ground in the first year, then he could, you know, give me a better idea of the outside number. But since I had lost no ground, again, my words, it's real possible that I will lose no ground in the next year, but we can't bet on that. We can't get too happy about this because we still have the disease we have, the disease we have. Anyway, so bottom line, he says, you're probably looking at longer amounts of time than what we first talked about. And I'm thinking, well, how about that? Yip-de-doo. That's real good news. I swear to God, he looks at me and says, have you considered opening your heart to allow Jesus Christ to be your personal savior, yabba yabba? And I'm going, oh, please. I swear I laughed. You know, I didn't mean to laugh. I don't mean to laugh at someone else's beliefs. But it was kind of like sitting down in the barber chair saying, you know, would you like a blue mohawk and a pink tutu? It's like, no, I don't need that, thank you. So he starts explaining Jesus to me. I said, no, I don't think I could live with the surrender of that. And he looks at me like, surrender? I'm going, well, you know, the whole, the flock, the sheep, and the magic cloud. I just don't think so. So he starts telling me about, you know, Jesus and the angels and stuff. And I'm saying, I looked at him. I'm not sure why I said this. I wasn't being mean to him. I was just being kind of blunt and direct, like I wish he would be with me. I said, you serve two masters. Now, I didn't say, what's it feel like serving two masters? Or what kind of idiot tries to serve two masters? I just said, you serve two masters. And he looks back at me and says, no, I don't. And obviously, what he meant was Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, was first. And there's only one master and the king and the clouds and the sheep and the flock. But that tells me that the science comes second. And that scares me to death. So we go on for a while, him trying to explain to me, Jesus loves me, all that. Hey, Doc, you're just, please, you're talking to the wrong guy, you know, and I feel really weird about you being in charge of the rest of my life when you got this George Bush outlook, you know. But that's one of the biggest problems we have with Bush being president, is he's got this whatever God decides, you know. I mean, whether he launches nuclear missiles against somebody or if Israel launches or whatever, it's all God's plan. It's God's will, you know, so our actions mean nothing. I hate a president with that kind of attitude, and I don't like a doctor with that kind of attitude either. So anyway, this nutty doctor, we argue for a while, and I quickly realize that I'm not going to win over him, and he realized he wasn't going to win over me, so we just decided to kind of let it go. And he said, so you come back and see me in 90 days? I said, uh-huh, yeah, count on that, Doc. So I'll go see him in a year, and he'll tell me the disease I have is the disease I have. But meanwhile, I'm going to drink the Bejesus out of the green tea. Let me tell you something else. My cholesterol went down 20%, and I can only ascribe it to the green tea. So that's a little something for you fellas out there. And you women's too. If you have high cholesterol, green tea is cheap. Green tea costs, oh, a dime a bag. And I'm kind of overdosing on it. I'm I'm drinking green tea like I drink whiskey and tequila. But for a dime a day, you know, you could spend a dollar a day on green tea and be okay. And if that's going to drop your cholesterol 20% or something, hell, it cures your asthma too. A little homage to my man Frank Zappa. But green tea apparently has many, you know, they're always talking about how in China and Japan, you know, they don't have any heart problems over there. You say, oh, it's because they eat the fish. Well, you know, they also drink the green tea. And I'm not much for doing 8 or 9 loads of fish a day, but green tea, it tastes like tea. It's just, if nothing else, you know, getting a little wake-up call like this at 51, I'm not one of those guys. I'm one of those guys that says, the day someone reminded me that I was 51 and getting older every day, that was a really important day for me because mentally I'm still, you know, 23, 25. And I don't want to be 71 when someone taps me on the, oh, it'd be nice to make 71. But I don't want to be, I'm glad I got the wake-up call at 51. Let's just put it that way because now I can, you know, I just needed to be, it's like halftime. Halftime is a ball game, gives you a chance to stop, take a breath, look at the score, see who's injured, you know, kind of take stock. What do we got? What's our plan for the rest of the game kind of thing? So that's one thing this did for me. Doctor tells me now, he says, and when you start deteriorating, we'll give you a little chemo, perk you back up. I'm going, hello, hello. You what? Say that again. He said, well, we'll give you a little chemo. I'm going, well, no, what is this? You told me when I first came in here, you told me, you know, when you got cancer of the blood, he told me there's no surgery, there's no chemo, there's no radiation, and then I forget what the other thing was, but I think there's 4 treatments that you do. And he said, none of them were, you know, you got what you got, and that's how it is. And I go, okay, dumbass me. I thought, well, that's the good news. I don't want to do the chemo, my hair fall out, and I lose a bunch of weight, and I, you know, age 20 years in 2 years, and, you know, get all. But that's what the doctor says. Not only do I have longer to go, but now he's come up with the idea that a little chemo will help me. And I said, well, what is this? He said, well, no. You heard something different. That was some kind of miscommunication. I'm saying, I don't think so. So if I was you, with or without some badass disease, have a good time every day because what other choice you got? You can spend a lot of time on negative this and negative that, or you can just say, fuck it, have a good time, go on, live your life, have as much fun as you can. That's the point, right? Okay, so that's the end of that. Oh, sip of tequila for the boy. He's going to live longer than he thought. You know, what if it wasn't the green tea? What if it was the blue agave? Unspoken words, you know just what to do. The rhythm moves, second nature to you.
Something like this.
There you had it. Show 68. There was some of this and there was some of that, and we had a good time telling you about it, especially the part where I'm not dying as fast as previously diagnosed by my monkey doctor. So, I'll get to work on show 69, and sorry it's been so long. Jeez, it's been like 3 weeks since the last show, but I just don't know what I'm doing. And when you, on top of that, when you pile, everything I had got put into these little bitty boxes and it got transported over here, and all little bitty boxes are the same, so we didn't know where nothing was. And then once we got the microphone hooked up, it took us a full 7 days to figure out how to turn it on. Oh Lord, why do you make it so hard for me? But we get to work on show 69. Show 69 will be a little more traditional with an E on the end of it. So look for that, and then pretty soon we'll do show 70, 75, 80. We'll be at the 100 show mark before you know it. So this is Bart from Oklahoma saying, I'm still alive. Bart out.
With all of your money, your poor can be fed. You stall around and you flirt with disaster, and never really caring just for what comes after. Well, your blacks are dying, but your back is still turned, and your freaks are crying, but your back is still turned. You better stop. Concerned, but then why turn away when a lady was raped?